Hey everybody, my name is Steve Cronin, CEO and founder of Fifth Kind. Today we're going to be talking about achieving the full potential of digital collaboration. So basically a little bit of history. Over the last 16 years, since I was the IT manager on the Matrix sequels, we've been analyzing how information moves throughout the production process, or all the different types of files, or all the different types of metadata. And I had an amazing experience on those films, because we had two films, a video game, the Animatrix, as well as the TV show. And we're trying to reuse assets from the first production. And the first big challenge was, here was a printout of everything we had from Matrix 1. There was nothing visualized, nothing in digital form, so we didn't reuse anything. So I built a system on that production, which was able to be used pretty extensively. And over the last 16 years, we've been building software platforms to unify the whole production process. And over the last 2 years, we kind of took a step back and we said, you know, what are all these different challenges we've had within growing the application? All these RFPs, all the support challenges, training challenges, all the different feature requests. And we took a step back and we kind of had to rebuild this whole thing from scratch. So today I'm going to walk through what of some of those learnings that we've had over these 16 years of trying to unify the production process. How do we remove the friction from the creative process? How do we deliver a high level of security? And how do we make it extremely extensible? So shout out to the previous panel of also highlighting the big challenges we have here. And really at a high level, you know, one of the fundamental challenges is if we just look at the production process, you know, lack of technical resources. So it really becomes dependent on us to deliver a really simple to use application that's frictionless, that allows people to flow, that is able to unify the production as much as possible with minimal technical requirements. And operationally, traditionally, we don't see a lot of investment in how to efficiently make the production operate. So we feel that digital solutions such as ours can help streamline that. So if we look at this kind of breakdown of the production process, starting with a lot of the creative processes up front, technical processes in the middle, business processes down the tail end, we look at this holistically and we say, what is the different types of files? What's the different types of information? Essentially, how do we get as close to the point of creation as possible to be able to engage that creator of an asset to be able to ingest and therefore capture as much information as possible? So we're dealing with all sorts of, you know, random files. So we might deal with on-location scouts, raw images that contain geotag information. So we might create a relationship to Google Maps. We might deal with casting where we create relationships to IMDb. As we go down into the dailies and on-set workflows, we want to, you know, consolidate all of the camera reports and wrangling reports and costumes and continuity. And then down into the business process of marketing. To give you some idea, last year for Marvel alone, we distributed 4.5 million files to 2,500 companies. And we saved them 1.5 million a production, and a third of that was reuse of assets. Because we're creating this really rich archive that's seamless and standardized across all their productions. Anyone can come into the system and know how to find that information. So the five pillars we're going to talk about today is how do we kind of solve those? You know, how do we deliver a great experience and deliver security with minimal inconvenience? How do we make it scale and perform really well? How do we manage that data challenge? And how do we make it easily extensible so we're not continuously writing code as new challenges come up, as new formats, new requirements, et cetera? So starting off with a great user experience, removing the technical questions. We want to ensure that you're not having to think about how big is the file, what type of file is it, what device do you want to view it on, how do you secure it? So that's, you know, taking tools such as Aspera for optimal file transfers or SohoNet to optimize your network or various other technologies and integrating it seamlessly so that the user doesn't have to think about what system am I logging into, can this system device support this, and, you know, can I get it delivered without any concern of having to, you know, re-upload or do whatever I need to do. Cutting the clutter was really our biggest challenge, which is we have so much functionality within the system, it's difficult to deliver an experience that doesn't overwhelm the user. So what we started to do is break all of this functionality up into smaller bytes, and we do that through wizards. So for example, if you're going to share a file, the first step might be, who do I want to communicate with? What's the subject? What's the message? Step two is it downloadable or view only? If downloadable, what style of watermark do you want to apply? What time does it expire? So breaking them up into smaller bytes and guiding them through a process so they're not getting overwhelmed. Making it familiar, so all of the iconography, the terminology, the taxonomy, that it's, you know, industry related, that it can be flexible to basically any industry, and that you know, all of the feel of it is using sort of patterns that have come familiar with Facebook and YouTube and other sites that people are using every day. And then of course making it seamless across devices, whether it be your mobile, your tablet, your desktop, say your Apple TV, so that you're not having to relearn the system as you move across these different systems. And then adjusting for purpose. That's another key component we built into the new version, which is when I share content with you, there's various different types of workflows we're sharing that for, whether it be for dailies or bidding or talent approvals or distribution. So as you share it, you define the context of that share and you receive a specific experience. So the user, say for a distribution, is being guided towards executing a download. For dailies, they're being straight one click to a play and seamlessly playing. So it's also just, again, removing that friction. And then making it fast. We want to allow users to view a video without buffering so that they can get the true experience of that content. We want to allow them to communicate and make lots of comments really quickly across many different frames or many different files and remove that friction of them not being able to think in a flowing manner and be able to create as seamlessly as possible. Then when we jump over to security, constant challenge of security and convenience. I'm sure we've all seen this model before, good, fast, cheap, pick any two. But I'd actually like to add another dimension, which is, security. So I do believe you can build good products without it necessarily being secure. And so it just adds an extra layer of complexity for us that we always need to take into account how to build a great product, how to make it fast, but always be thinking of security. And say if I take, for example, passwords and multi-factor authentication, this idea of something you have and something you know. There are some implementations that might use an app like Google Authenticator where you have to open the app, get the code out, paste that into the interface. It's annoying enough that people will just want to turn it off. Whereas if we do things like SMS where it turns up on your phone without you necessarily having to open the phone, that's removing that friction while delivering a really high level of security. Then, of course, all your watermarking and adjusting for your role. So if you're an executive, it could be really simple. If you're junior, it can be really intense, giving you all the DRM so you know that nothing can be extracted from the system without the right access. And making access controls really seamless as well. We do something pretty unique. We use metadata-based access. So traditionally, you would have lots of folders and files, and you'd be sort of saying, who can see this folder, et cetera. But leveraging metadata, we can do something pretty cool. Like, for example, when you're on set, you're making a decision as to what's a circle take, what's not a circle take. That can actually be not only an access control decision, but an archive policy decision. So that I could give you access to, here's all the circle takes, say, for Iron Man. So as you're ingesting a file, that metadata, that status decision that you made on set actually enables me, as soon as the file's ingested, to determine who's allowed to see that based on that piece of information. So again, you're removing this dependency on constantly manage these vast access controls. Intrusion detection and prevention, that every system nowadays has to deal with intrusion prevention, making sure hackers cannot break into the system. But we do something pretty unique with detection in that all input is rated, so that if you're predicted to be attempting to hack the system, like you're inputting a comment or you're trying to input some text, if we see your ratings too high, we'll actually lock you out, log your account, and notify an administrator. So we're also gauging whether we think you're a nefarious user. Then regular patching. You might have heard of a term called zero-day vulnerabilities. These are the type of things that are vulnerabilities in, say, the operating system. They may be sitting there right now, but the public doesn't necessarily know about them. So it's up to us to, as these vulnerabilities become known, to patch all our systems extremely quickly so that before hackers build exploits and take advantage of that, we're making sure your systems are absolutely protected. And then communication protocols is just a reference to social engineering. So we have to make sure that all of our support, our training, our account management, there's all the right protocols in place so that people aren't bypassing the digital protection and trying to leverage the human element to security vulnerabilities. Scalability and performance, another term you may have heard, service-oriented architectures. This is something you should be looking for in pretty much any application you're trying to use nowadays. And this is going to give you a level of high availability and give you a lot of redundancy. So, for example, each service now is broken up into their components. So here's my interface, here's my APIs, here's my authentication, here's my content delivery, my video streaming. All of these independent kind of modules that, for example, if all of a sudden I have a lot of people streaming video, I can scale up my video servers independently. If all of a sudden I'm uploading a lot of video, I can scale up my Aspera, scale up my transcoders, and make it flexible so you're not wasting those resources and maximizing the efficiency of your application. And then, of course, caching using things like Akamai so that you have a content delivery network. So no matter where users are in the world, they can view high-quality content, like on a Netflix, and deliver that from your own application. And then automated deployments and testing, that's more of an engineering component to allow our developers to write code, to do tests, to get feedback as quickly as possible, to make them as efficient as they can be from an engineering perspective, and get that functionality out to you as fast as possible. Systems like Facebook, et cetera, they're actually deploying every day. They have all that monitoring in place that allows them to see what sort of errors are occurring, and we're trying to deliver that sort of experience to you. Infinite data. I think this is one of the biggest challenges that we've always had across the industry, which is this standardization. When you're living in a folder world, when you're living where every production has complete, you know, some guidance as to a standard, but realistically, it's inconsistent. You know, it's pretty chaotic. So what we deliver is meta structures. So just breaking down the key structures, you've got your file data, such as embedded information like time codes, geotags. You could have file properties like the resolution. We could run it through a speech-to-text engine and give you the dialogue that's around the content. Then you have your kind of structural data, and this is primarily the folder information, you know, what production it is a part of, what department, what asset type. Is it a concept art, a storyboard, a previs? So we're classifying the information so you know what it is at any point in time. You can go back to the Marvel system, back to Iron Man 1, and say, show me all the concept art. Show me approved concept art. All that information is completely consistent across every single production. Then a layer we have around that is, how do we create all these relationships to the other metadata that sits around the system? So what's scene is it a part of? What's set? What are the various statuses? You know, what's the creative status, the talent status, the legal status? So we allow each file to have multiple statuses, and then you could say, for example, characters. So this contains Iron Man and Thor and Captain America. Now, we also built something unique in the next version, which is called inherited metadata. So for example, if I tag Iron Man, I can create an automatic relationship. This is Robert Downey Jr. Then I could hook that into the IMDb database and then pull in the filmography. So you can also connect external data resources to create relationships and enrich your content through one simple tag to say, this was Iron Man. Another key component is file relationships. So what is that relationship between a 3D model and its texture, or a trailer? What cuts made up that trailer? So we can take an EDL or ALE and create these relationships, or manually create these relationships. So on the top layer, you've got relationships between files and metadata, and then you've got also relationships between the files themselves. And then version containers is another new feature of our system. And the big question that always came up is, how do I make sure I'm looking at the right version of a file? You know, when they're kind of spread out in a folder, you've got different folders to track what's approved, what's not, et cetera. But what this allows you to do is containerize these and choose, what is the version I want to expose? Do I want to share the most recent version or the approved version, or do I want to share all versions? So having this data framework, we've actually been able to apply this to any industry. We now apply this to oil and gas, we apply it to automotive, and it can be applied to a single department, a whole production, a whole studio, and out to all the different vendors and licensees. And then as we went out to the enterprises, one of the bigger challenges kept coming up around, how do we make it configurable so that if you have different types of media that you need to create, like you want to create different proxy resolutions, or you want to have your logo burnt into it as things came in, we kept having to write code. So we said, how can we build a framework that says you can go and, without writing a piece of code, configure the system to do whatever you want it to do? So we have what's an event-driven framework. So for example, every event, like when a file, a user, or a tag is created, modified, deleted, every action in the system goes through an event controller. You can then filter that by a production or a department or a status and connect it to a module. So you could, the modules might be a notification, a backup, facial analysis, a watermark with a set of properties. So on a notification, who am I emailing? When I'm watermarking, what's the file in, the file out, and the resolution? So if we take it, this example on the right, when a VFX shot is approved, I want to transcode it to frames and distribute it. So you'll see the event is looking for when a tag is created or modified with the status approved and it's a VFX shot of video, hook into the transcoding module ColorFront and create a set of frames at 4K resolution with a particular CDL. Then the second event is listening for that file to be created, and you'll see the file type is looking for a set of frames, and then we're now going to execute a transfer with a spare to a particular server with a particular username and password. Now, we don't have to write code to do any of that. We actually don't even have integration into ColorFront at this point in time. So you could actually build your own modules that sit in between our modules. We have the Aspera integration, but you could build your own tools or leverage the existing modules that we already have in the system. So what does this look like when it all kind of fits together? So if we take this workflow of capturing on set with a camera, go through your near-sit workflow, upload your files into the version container, We're going to extract that metadata, throw it down the bottom line through your metadata workflow. We're going to automatically back that up to your cold storage. We're going to throw it through transcoders, create your proxies, make it available through the content delivery network so it's globally accessible. We're going to give you panels, so in Photoshop and Premiere, you can get that content directly out. You could even push it out with a sparrow or even to social networks like Facebook, YouTube, or even between Fifth Kind systems. So say one of your vendors is also using Fifth Kind, you can actually say, I want to push this from Marvel to Trailer Park, and it's going to take the files and the metadata, now push that into a Trailer Park system, and then they could access it, say, through Premiere, publish the files back into the studio, out to everybody's devices. So it's this kind of hub-and-spoke seamless integration between different enterprises. And of course, we put everything through speech-to-text, so all your dialogue becomes searchable. We do your visual analysis, so all your objects and faces can be detected. And then we're going to create that relationship to the actor and then give that all inherited metadata. So overall, our goal is to, again, bring together all this security, all this collaboration, all of this integration, making sure that it's frictionless to the user, engage as many of these users throughout as many of the pipelines as possible, remove this kind of system fatigue of which system do I need to log into, and also explore how we integrate into other systems. We've done a few projects now of trying to do direct integration, which works well if you're doing a one-directional push, but as soon as you start getting into a world where you need to do bi-directional exchanges, there's a lot of challenges as who has ownership over that piece of data. So there's other systems that we need to kind of bring into this to be able to glue these all these different workflows together. So, Guy, any questions or?
We have a minute or two. Do we have any questions from the audience for Steve before we head to break? Everybody completely understands the digital end-to-end production process. I'm so impressed. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Steve Cronin. Thank you so much, Steve.